Well, greetings, brethren, and welcome to all. I guess this is the time to have the all bright and beautiful portion of the service program today. A little humor there. Anyway, I want to say thank you and glad to be here and glad to see you today, even if it's just in the mind's eye, that we all are united together through God's Spirit as we understand. I wanted to go ahead and get right into the service program, and I titled this particular message for this morning, Our Go-To Response. Our Go-To Response. I had several months to work on this particular message, and I figured in about 2 hours I will be done. That's a joke. Brethren, are we as prepared to be true Christians as we would like to be? Especially if a trying situation just happens to pop up out of nowhere, or maybe slowly kind of creeps up on us unnoticed till it's right before you. How would you handle that in your heart and in your mind? We may know how we would like to handle or react to a trying problem, especially if it has to deal with our mental and our spiritual attitude. But you really don't know for sure how you would. All the spiritual training and our prayers, our studies of God's Word, listening to sermons and sermonettes and so forth, and asking for God to always increase His spirit of wisdom in us, as you would read in Ephesians 1:17, to increase His wisdom through His spirit that dwells in us, all this helps us. But would you be able to recall that training, that way of thinking, if you found yourself being tested all of a sudden? Medical doctors, brethren, with all of their training and all of their study, as I have noticed when I've gone to the doctor's office with my wife, I've always noticed they seem to have a go-to place or response to begin with, especially when they determine what could be medically wrong with you or what could be medically right with you. They always have their assistants. They usually check your temperature. They'll check your blood pressure. They may check your weight and some other things, so that when the doctor goes to that piece of paper and see what all these things read, he can go from there and arrive at a better diagnosis or a decision of a possible medical problem you may have. And so I was wondering, shouldn't we, as Christians, have a go-to place, a go-to response that we could apply in our everyday life? That is a good Christian reaction to those sudden emergencies, those sudden trials, those sudden fears that may come on us when we least expect it. And they could test our spiritual fiber, what we're really made of at that moment. And so I was wondering, is there not a go-to behavior that God would honor? I found this verse in Proverbs 3, starting in verse 25. And I want to read it out of the American Standard and Berean Bible translations, which help us to understand a little bit better the way things can be. Proverbs 3, starting in verse 25. It says, Be or do not be afraid of sudden fear. Sudden trying problems, if you will, brethren. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from the snare. In other words, by understanding God's ways through our prayers, through our study of God's Word, through asking God to give us more of His Holy Spirit as we allow it to guide our thoughts, to increase our wisdom of His way of life, they can guide us into the attitude that we must practice, and it is honored by God. And we can come to realize that in God's time frame, brethren, for us especially in these trying times, all things will work for us as we love God sooner or later. That's in Romans 8, verse 28. All things will work out sooner or later, but that does require on your part, on our part, a certain amount of patience and a certain amount of knowledge of how God works, how He deals with things, always for our good. And friends, there are go-to responses or practices that we can do in worshiping God and His truth. They have been helping us in the times past. They will continue to help us in our salvation process learn to develop, brethren, the mind of God, the way God thinks and the way He wants us to think. And I found this particular principle that we need to keep in mind in 1 John 4, verse 21. 1 John 4, verse 21. And again, I will be using the Berean Study Bible translation because it helps clear it up a little bit if there is any misunderstanding. 1 John 4, 21. God says, we have this commandment from God, whosoever loves God. Well, we understand that the first four commandments of God's law tells us how to love God. But then He says, whosoever loves God must love his brothers and his sisters as well. And that, we understand also, sums up the last six of the commandments. So in essence, we're to always keep God's commandments in our minds and our hearts. Of course, we love God, we must love each other. If you will turn to Philippians chapter 2 in your Bibles, I want to read a couple of verses here. Philippians 2, starting in verse 1. Because these verses, brethren, give us a way of thinking that we should have in this up and down roller coaster of emotions that we call life. Let me read a few of those verses of Philippians 2, starting in verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, and we do, brethren, we want to be like Him. If you have any comfort from His love that He shares with us, if any common sharing in the Spirit of God, we all have God's Spirit. We all want God's Spirit to work in us. If any compassion or showing or sharing in God's Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then I believe it was Paul that said, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. Think as Christ thought on this earth, having the same love and being of one spirit and of one mind. And he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. rather in humility, value each other. Value each other. Not looking to your own interests, not being engrossed in your own self-desires and so forth, but each of you to the needs and interests of others, others' concerns. Then verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. In other words, we're to learn to let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. To learn to think in attitude and heart as Christ demonstrated while he was on this earth. Now, brethren, stay with me as I try to clarify some of this. I want to share with you for a few minutes a very short story. It's about two men who were facing their own crises at the same time. Now, I've got the inspiration of this particular story from an old TV show back in the 70s, and it was called MASH. And it was during the Korean War. It was about the lives of the doctors that were operating on people during that war and others who were facing trials and problems. It had its good humor side and it had its serious side. But there was one incident that I took heart at, and it made me start thinking. It told me a lesson that I think that many people, and perhaps even us sometimes, can easily forget or easily ignore. The first man in this story was a servant of God in the form of a minister. Now, he was expecting his immediate superintendent to visit him in his church. Unfortunately, it just happened to be the very same day that the minister had planned his usual visits to the sick in the nearby hospital, as he had done always in the past. But the first man, the minister, he had hoped that he would get back in time to talk with his supervisor, his immediate superintendent. And deep down in his heart, he wanted to talk to the superintendent so that the superintendent would see all he had been doing as his role as an elder or as a minister. But he really wanted his supervisor to give him that pat on the back, that praise he thought he deserved for being a servant of God in the form of a minister. But while he was at the hospital, his visits were taking somewhat longer than he had anticipated, and he kept on looking at his watch. And he was getting a little bit agitated. He was getting a little disturbed. Everything that was going on seemed to be taking longer than it should have. And it was taking up his valuable time as he kept looking at his watch. Deep down in his heart, he knew he would not be able to meet with his superintendent and therefore not receive the praise, that pat on the back, maybe a little encouragement he felt he deserved for his service to others. The first man, the minister, was allowing himself to feel some emotions, a little bit of self-pity in one sense, And he was becoming ill at ease with everyone, but especially to the second man in my story, a patient at his hospital that he was visiting. The patient had been talking a little bit, and the minister would nod his head and look at his watch. But this patient, well, he was facing his own crises at that moment. And deep down in the minister's eyes or his mind, the minister felt like the patient was causing him, the minister, to miss out on that praise he thought he deserved for his good works he had been doing. And the agitation was now showing on his own face as he kept looking at his watch and nodding to the patient. But you know, brethren, it was at this time that the patient, lying in that bed, could see the wandering away or the agitation on the minister's face. And the patient began to discern that the minister was preoccupied with something else. And he calmly, as the patient could, he asked the minister, he said, "Pastor, is everything all right, sir? Is there anything that I can possibly do or say that would help you?" The first man, the minister, had not, up till that time, recognized what was happening to him, for he had allowed himself to become preoccupied with his self desires. His desires seemed to be more important to him at that time than the medical welfare or even the spiritual welfare of that patient. Because you see, friends, the second man, the patient, he was facing his own crises that no one wants to face. The sober event that the doctors had already told him that he was dying and there was no hope of recovery. But they would try to make everything as comfortable for him as possible. But the patient, knowing this, was thinking of the first man, the minister. And the patient wanted to help the minister if he could. He was thinking of the need of the minister. Even though the patient, he was seeking some spiritual hope for the future to come from that particular minister. And that was quite natural. Then the minister came to himself, and he began to see his selfishness. The minister began to see his inward desire for praise, for that pat on the back, for doing things. And he began to realize what was happening to him. He began to see the gravity of what truly was going on with himself and with that patient. But when the patient asked, could he help the minister in any way, he came suddenly to realize what was going on in his own mind. The minister could now see that his heart had been somewhat selfish as the second man, the patient, lay there knowing that he would die. And he wanted only from the minister to be given some encouraging words. But the minister had been preoccupied at that moment. And the patient, who was quite naturally, as I said, he was concerned with his own well-being, but he had taken the time to ask the minister if he, the patient, might be able to help him in this obvious distressful moment that the minister was going through. While he, the patient, needed the little hope to know that he would one day wake up and see God, for the sake of this particular sermon, in the kingdom of God. He really just wanted some reassurance. The patient really just wanted that hope and that vision of the glory that he would one day come to experience when he would wake up from his sleep into the kingdom of God. But he was a human being. He wanted to die with dignity and with a hope for that moment to come from the minister who would share that moment with him before he died. And so, brethren, as one man's eyes were being opened to the reality that God wanted him, the minister, to be that helper and to be that servant to the patient, the other man's eyes, the patient, would soon close. In that hope, in that vision of tomorrow, that once the minister came to himself, was able now to impart to that patient, who in a few more moments died in the minister's presence. As never before, it was then that the minister realized why he, and in essence, all of us are here, began to realize why God had created man and placed him on the earth, so that man, through God's Spirit, eventually in everyone, will learn how to become in our hearts and our minds exactly as God is. 1 John 4:8. God is love. Psalms 136:1. God is outgoing, away from the self. And 1 Peter 5:7. God cares for all of us. Part of letting that mind be in you that is in God. Brethren, can we be that way? Are we that way now? Can we serve each other, no matter who, without expecting something in return? Can we learn that this important lesson from God, this go-to act that we need to have in our minds that represents God's way, that all must learn, though it will take 6,000 years. Because we have studied the Word of God, we pray for God's help, we pray for an increase of God's Spirit in our hearts and our minds. We need to learn this go-to response of Acts 20:35. It says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. God says it's more blessed to share our time. It's more blessed to care for others, to talk to others, and to be able to share the vision and the hope to come, the reality of the coming kingdom of God that we can share with each other and through our examples to other people in this world. Time that we can share God's truth, especially to those who may have heavy challenges or death to come. To follow Galatians 6, verse 10, brethren. Galatians 6, verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to each other, the household of God. To allow ourselves to be like-minded, as we read back in Philippians 2, as God is. Mark 10, verse 45. Mark 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man, he did not come to be saved, to be served, even though he was God in the flesh. He did not come to be served, but to serve, and to serve to the highest degree of service, and to give his life as a ransom for many, for all. In order to be like-minded as that, as Jesus Christ was. Now, friends, in most situations, we may find ourselves in this life shouldn't be the go-to thought pattern, the go-to response, because of our prayers and our studies and asking God to give us more of His Spirit, allow it to work in our hearts and our minds. Shouldn't that go-to response be as servants to others? In situations that even come out of nowhere. And if possible, to serve in large or small opportunities that arise. You remember Luke 16, verse 10. Luke 16, verse 10. We're to serve others. But without seeking the praise or that pat on the back. For in essence, you've done all that God would ask you to do, but He would like for you to do more. As God says, if we, brethren, if we know to do good, and most of us know to do good, He says, do it. Whether it's large or small ways, do it. Developing that outward concern for others, because apart from that, it is sin. It's selfishness. And we're to have certain natural concerns, of course. But if we know to do good in whatever forms we can and are able to do, then do it. As life permits us to do so, brethren, in whatever form that good may be for you, do what you can to serve others without expecting something in return. But sometimes somebody may thank you, take it. but don't do it for that reason. Now, brethren, we have seen and we have been through some trying times. We still are, especially as we live in this world. What affects the day-to-day existence of most people usually affects us. Here we are. This is a prime example. Brethren, I also thought about this. We also have witnessed many good acts of selflessness from other people to other people. The paycheck didn't matter, but they were serving, trying to help other people. They understood enough of God's principles to serve the best way they could. And it does take a special dedication of some to serve and expose themselves to dangers, like on medical field in particular. Some first responders, police, firemen, but especially in the medical field, will go beyond that paycheck. And as you have seen, they try their best to serve others and boldly go and serve where many will not. How much more can you and I do, one way or the other, while we can, as we possess the Spirit of God working in us, guiding us as we allow it? We read in 2 Timothy 1:6-7, 2 Timothy 1:6-7, we pray for God's power, for God's help, to do what we do in life wisely, soundly. Know your limits, brethren, what you can and cannot do. Patiently. And pray for God's wisdom that comes through His Spirit to do what you can at all times. Do we now, and can we continue to serve each other, therefore serving God and maybe other people, without expecting anything in return, without that pat on the back, without that praise? I think you remember Matthew 6, starting in verse 1. Matthew 6, starting in verse 1. God gives us a principle. Be careful not to perform your good deeds, your righteous acts, to be praised or to have the glory of men. God says, truly I tell you, if that's the intent, then people that will do these things have already received their reward. The vanity was pleased. But then God says in verse 3, but when you serve, serve quietly, not for show. The Berean Study Translation says, if at all possible, serve being humble. We are here to learn how to become and think as God is. The best we can, brethren, especially in these trying times that we are going through. And yet, God sets the standard of how to be in our services to others, to a level that God says to work for. If we could, with God's Spirit working in us. John 15, verse 13. Now, this is a level of experience, of service, that may be hard to do, but we are to retain that. John 15, 13, greater love has no one that perhaps, brethren, he would be willing, and that's my opinion, my comment, be willing to give his life for his brethren or for others. It might be easier for your immediate family, but for others? Have we attained that level yet of service? We have seen that of late of others. We've practiced God's way to the extent that they understood it during this pandemic time. But I know we all do hope we would respond to the needs of others, large or small, this way, if we can get to that level of God's love for each other. But we don't really know if we could serve to that degree. But would we be willing, if need be? Brethren, God wants to at least see that approach in doing good to others and to him in your heart, in your mind. And we have God's Holy Spirit that can help us even more so. God wants our good, our sacrifices, to be sincere and of the heart, and to be as the familiar verse of Romans 12:1. He says, learn to be living sacrifices that begin in the mind, the attitude, and point away from the self. Now, brethren, Paul is not saying in Romans 12:1 that we literally sacrifice our lives, but that we grow to learn to give our lives to God and to others in doing good the best we can, here and there. We're willing to do that at the drop of a hat. But God will not allow us at the same time, brethren, during the services we do, come to the point of death, hopefully. For God says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, God is faithful. God will not let you be tempted or tried or tested beyond what you can bear. And being willing to sacrifice your life would be a trial, a problem. But we are to grow and to attain to that level as best we can with God's Spirit working in us. But it says, but God will show us how to endure things, the best we can to endure things, to serve the best we can. Because God is looking at our willingness to serve each other without expecting something in return. He wants to see that we're growing in God's Spirit. You know, brethren, the minister in this story that I told, he wanted to appear as a true servant. And maybe for the most part he had been. But at this particular time, he desired that pat on the back. He felt he deserved it. But he didn't realize that his opportunity to be a true servant had been right in front of him all the time because of his vanity of self-pity. When he saw the willingness of the patient to want to help him, the minister, as he, the patient, lay there dying, the minister quite quickly discerned what was happening to him. And he was able to give that patient some hope and some vision of his future right before the patient died. Brethren, can we serve without expecting anything in return? Do we want to be doing good? Be true servants of God from the heart? Do we pray for more of God's Spirit to guide us? And will we allow it to guide us to do the good in all its forms the best we can? God does not necessarily judge us as we appear to be, but what is really in our hearts. Throughout this crisis that we have experienced, and we still are, the lesson seems to be so clear, at least to me, that God is the epitome of love, so should we be. After all, Christ served to that extent that he did give his life for all of us and for our benefit in the end. God will give to us eternal life as he sees his Spirit working in us and in time in others in his time frame to come. So all will have the opportunity. As he teaches us day by day this go-to attitude and response that we must have, brother. For it is more blessed to give than to receive.